coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation. It's your host, Doug Hagman.
And this is Hagman Report for today. It is Thursday, January 27th, 2022. You know, Steve Quayle is usually on Thursdays, but today we're launching the joint fundraiser money bomb, whatever you want to call it. But what is, we've launched it, I should say. We've been up for like 30 hours, okay? It's just crazy. Eric the tech saying, my mind's mashed potatoes. I mean, it's like two monkeys fighting over a banana up there, okay, mentally. Both of us, all right? So, but here's the deal with the with what we've done. We have recorded, put together interviews, papers, what have you. There's four segments. This is like a conference. This is like a virtual conference. It's long, but it's detailed. So it's launched today. Parts one and two launched today. Okay. Parts three and four will be available next week. Now,
as yeah, it says ahead. February 4th, but we're going to get it to you as soon as we can. So we'll send you an email.
Yes.
On that second.
Thank you, Eric. Release. Tech. Yes.
And you should have an email right now.
Okay. Yeah, I'm glad you're
getting with a you. Link.
Yeah.
To go. Access the content. If you don't see the email, check your spam box.
Okay.
And if you don't see anything there, send an email to fundraiser@hagmanreport.com and we'll get you in.
Yes. Thank you, Eric the Tech.
So check your inbox, check your spam box, and go from there.
And remember the email from which you signed up, because some people have multiple email addresses and they're looking for it in one email address. It happens. Now, the second thing is if you sent a check or whatever, please understand you should have included your email address. If you're looking for it and you send it by check, chances are you did not include your email address. So.
And your check might still be in the mail.
And
which means we don't have the email yet. When we get it, you'll get the email.
So two things. Be sure to include your email address with your check or your brick of gold or silver or brick of mortar, you know, or whatever. I'm kidding. But just make sure you have your email, okay,
on some there. Some thermite.
Thermite.
Here, Doug.
Well, you know, even Lady the studio, I don't know if people can hear that. She's excited over that. I have her in my office, and my office door closed, and she hates that. So maybe somebody can let her out of there. But anyway, it beats the used condoms we've gotten, and the used some other things we've gotten in the mail. But thermite, yeah.
But we will make sure everybody gets their access.
Absolutely. And this is something you can...
Thank you.
Exactly. And this is something you can use, download all of these parts. You can watch again and again. Okay.
Yeah, they'll be available for a couple of months.
Yes.
So you'll have time to go through them. It's not a live broadcast. A lot of people have been asking that. It's video on demand.
And you know something? We couldn't have done it as a live broadcast because we were talking to people in different time zones, multiple countries, getting footage from multiple countries, multiple time zones. I mean, it would have been a nightmare. Plus the interference that we, and the stuff that we already had to put up with against, fighting against getting this information out. But I'm going to tell you, this information is mind-blowing. I do show a piece of evidence that we collected from that Russ and I collected from a suspect. And I'm not going to show it on air now, but I do show a piece of evidence. I don't know. Maybe it was gratuitously. No, not really. I had to get it from the evidence locker that we have off premise. And I'm going to tell you something. How everything has come together is just amazing. All right. So there it is. The fundraiser began today. You should have an email in your inbox. okay, if you don't panic, check your spam. And maybe if you send it by check, hey, hang loose unless you think, oh my gosh, I didn't send my email address. Then send an email with your email address to fundraiser@hagmanreport.com for all issues and problems. We will get to you as quickly as we look at the problem or the issue. All right. And you'll have time. You'll have time to review everything and such, but there's a lot of stuff. So I'm looking at this very quickly. I'm looking at this paper, Epoch Times. I'm looking at this story. Family loses legal battle to try other treatments for dying father. Okay. Now, look, I don't care what your position is on the shot, on the jab. I just don't care. When I'm looking at this, here's a family who says, who's got a family member in a hospital, and this dying father, and there's something called the right to try in America, and really in medical ethics, right to try. And in this case, they wanted the proper dose of the human medication, ivermectin. They were denied by the courts. Florida appellate court rejected the family's request to allow the father to take ivermectin as part of a protocol recommended by his doctor, or I'm sorry, a doctor that the family had conscripted into the situation. So take a step back, everyone, and take a look at what's going on. You've heard stories like this. You've heard so many stories over the last 18 months, 2 years. This is not, I'm going to tell you what this is. This is not about health. This is not about your health. This is not about sickness. This is not about a virus. This is about war by the globalist cabal of Satanist monsters. You know, that small group of people who want to take over the world and think they're the king of the world, small g god of the world, and gods of the world. That's what this is about. So I just want to introduce that topic because what we're experiencing today in all matters, I think, is the final thrust of the globalist attempt to take over humanity. And by the way, the fundraising material, money bomb material that you're going to be receiving addresses this very issue as well. Having said that, joining me for the entire show today, Randy Taylor, because we left some unfinished business from our last time together. Randy, how are you?
Good. Our life is a continuation of unfinished business. everything about when you think you're about done with something, here comes another chunk.
Unfinished.
How are you today, my friend?
You know what? Angry, on the edge, tired.
I know what you mean. You're on that ragged edge. You're just sitting there and... Yeah.
Time to open that thermite package.
Yeah.
You know, I would consume thermite, okay?
At this point, yeah.
I'm okay with that.
It's just unbelievable watching what's happening. And it doesn't matter what you bring forward, what you prove. You're like barking up a tree. You're like that lone voice in the wilderness, because the people that should be helping us aren't. They're part of the problem.
Exactly.
And this is where, I got to tell you this one thing. Guys, ladies and gentlemen, we get some good emails in here. We have some very, very intelligent listeners. We and people with really good foresight ideas and how they see things shaking out. So I just want to say thank you for the emails. Look, I don't respond to every email, but I will say this. I read every email that comes in. Okay. And thank you for those emails. And continue, please. I'd like to know who's out there. I know we have, you know, militias and things out there. Guys, please give me some contact, something. Just say hi.
Yeah, for a second there, I thought you said malicious. Malicious. Like,
yeah, malicious.
There you go.
But anyway, folks, it's nice. It's refreshing to see that there's so many people out there that are on that same level with Doug and I as far as how we feel about this. And it's sincere. I've seen some truly sincere thanks coming in. And I just want to say thank you. I'll go shoulder to shoulder with you anytime. And we're going to keep digging here. There's so much going on. In fact, there's so much going on that you almost have to do a graph, a chart of some sort to see how this connects with this, how this connects with this. It's getting nuts. I mean, I need a whiteboard that's about 12 feet long and about 8 feet tall just to put some of this stuff down.
You haven't seen my new office since you said that. I've got a 4 foot high by 8 foot long whiteboard on one wall of my office. And you haven't been in my office since it's been redone.
No, and I'm looking forward to it. Yeah, absolutely. But I'm sure. And the best part is Eric did a super job for you on that.
Oh, he did. And I got to tell you, there's no room left on that 4x8 whiteboard.
In fact, you're probably writing on the drywall now.
we need a bigger board. I'm telling you, it's just. But connecting all these dots with your permission, and folks, by the way, Randy Taylor at HagmanReport.com, that's his email address, part of the show, actually, and a big part of the show. So make sure you send him emails and tell him, how good he looks, or tell him to cut his hair or something. I don't care.
No, it's nice so we get information from around the world that's unfiltered information.
Yeah. Around the world. Intel.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. Intel. Absolutely. And I'll take all that human intel you want to throw my way. And it's fantastic to see what's going on, like in Australia. We've got people in Ireland scattered across the globe.
Yes, we do.
And they're telling us about personal experiences going on with this COVID. They're also telling us what the governments are doing in those areas, even locally or nationally, that we're not seeing on the news, nor will we ever see it on the news. This is raw intel, and it's fantastic because it opens up another volume of resource for us. And yep. And just feel free anytime you can send photographs and things like that. If there's an uprising, if there's something going on, shoot a picture. A picture's worth a thousand words. And I just, what it does is it starts banding us together and pulling us together.
Now, about the intel, too, sometimes the intel is of such a nature, if you send it, that you get it, or I get it, or we get it together, sometimes we just can't spew it out because there's investigations going on. Okay, aside from the authenticating the evidence, we're also looking from a ground level perspective, right? I mean, just so people
know. We also want to protect people. I don't want to post something or show something with people's faces in it. We don't want to ever cause harm to anyone that's trying to help us. And you say, okay, well, it's just a picture. Well, I'm going to look at that picture. Doug's going to look at that picture. And there's just some things in photographs we don't release. That's just the way it is.
Yeah. And that's
for your protection, not for ours. It is absolutely to protect, because you are hey, where are we without our listeners? Amen. We are not absolutely. We protect you to the end. And a lot of stuff that's sent in, if it's been used or whatever, gets either hidden or destroyed. You're never compromised.
We've got a maze of if the flower pot is on the porch, then never mind. Okay. You get the idea, folks. And you will be protected. So that's a good thing. Yeah, but protected from what? And here's the thing, too. I want to tell people, too, the mid-January to mid-February edition of Wisconsin Christian News is out. I just want to make that announcement. And this has to do with what we're talking about. Okay, so right here. Let's see. And right here is a column I wrote, and it says here, the evidence that we're under a biological attack is overwhelming. Fauci must be criminally investigated and charged with crimes against humanity. And this is exclusive to Wisconsin Christian News. Okay, one of the reasons why too we protect people is because, my goodness, the publisher of Wisconsin Christian News contacted me and says, "What did you do? Or look what you've done." You know, there was the amount of hate mail, and I mean absolute hate mail, from self-professed Christians was incredible. And the amount of threats, oh my goodness. So I said, can I still write for you? I mean, is that okay? He said, yeah, absolutely. In fact, write more, but I digress. But see, that should tell us something, shouldn't it? I mean, I brought that up because there's a level of protection. I think right now it's kind of a dangerous environment.
It is a very dangerous environment.
Okay, that's, yeah.
And because of the effectiveness of the show, puts us higher on the target list.
Yeah, and I've had people.
Seriously, it's if you're over the target, they're going to come. They come down on you.
You know,
and a lot of it's little silly things that a lot of people wouldn't even recognize. But we've been doing this a long time. I can tell when Doug's phone's tapped. I can. I know. And we laugh about it. And we say hello to whoever it is on the other end. We don't know. But I can tell when the phone's tapped. We've been friends for 20 years. I know what his phone rings sound like. I know what an answering machine should sound like. And we laugh about it. We've gotten used to it. We got used to it way back when. But it does happen.
Well, let's get into what we're fighting against.
Yeah, let's do this.
Okay, so what I did, and I sent you a copy of this, but what I did, and I know that I know this has been getting play on other media platforms over the last couple of days. It's not new. This is Klaus Schwab at World Economic Forum, Klaus Schwab at Harvard's JFK School of Government. And this is kind of what we're fighting against. And I want to lead off with this. And then right after this, Randy Taylor, I want your take on what he's saying here. And folks, listen to this, watch this, and understand what this means to you, because we're going to unfold this program, during this program, Randy Taylor, myself, we're going to unfold a lot of the components to this, including the transhumanistic AI aspect of this, the pushback, and even get into some decertification from the 2020 election. And you might roll your eyes and say, oh, that's, you know, shut up already about that. And I agree, because I don't see it going anywhere. But the fact that, like, one state, for example, is actually making moves to decertify and recertify electors, that's pretty interesting. And I don't know if that's because somebody's asleep at the switch on the other side or what, but it's pretty interesting. So all of this, but not even that. It's just the fact that it's happening should raise some eyebrows. But watch this, folks. This is from the Harvard JFK School of Government, Klaus Schwab, that bald-headed evil garden gnome. Go ahead.
And I have to say, when I mention now names like Mrs. Merkel, even Vladimir Putin and so on, they all have been young global leaders of the World Economic Forum. Mm-hmm. But what we are very proud of now, the young generation, like Prime Minister Trudeau, President of Argentina and so on, that we penetrate the cabinets. So yesterday I was at a reception for Prime Minister Trudeau, and I know that half of this cabinet, or even more, half of this cabinet are actually young global leaders of the World Economic Forum.
And that's true in Argentina too. Wow.
Yeah.
Sorry. That's true in Argentina as well.
It's true in Argentina, and it's true in France now. Mm-hmm. I'm here with the president, who is a young global leader. But what is important for me?
Randy Taylor, what do you make of that?
I lost half of what the guy was saying.
Yeah, the audio. Just that.
Yeah, the strong accent.
Well,
honestly, I didn't.
Okay, essentially what he's saying is the World Economic Forum, the young leaders, the young political leaders, what the World Economic Forum does, they indoctrinate the young political leaders or the political leaders, and they push this globalist agenda, and so everyone's marching to the same tune. They send them out, and they're penetrating our cabinets. He talked about Trudeau's cabinet in Canada, specifically, in Argentina, and in other locations. And this is what's happening. So this is what we're fighting against. So what do you, I mean, so we've got this non-governmental organization filled with a bunch of these bureaucrats, these whatever status. How do we fight this? I mean, short of fighting, how do we fight this?
Yeah, that's a really good question. As far as them getting into schools and cabinets and things like that, we know they're already know they're there. A good example is up in Canada. The second in command up there, that Freeland, that female, if you do her genealogy, right, her grandfather was a Nazi. We're starting to see more and more of these type of people showing up. And if you start digging in their backgrounds, you go back generations and they were Nazis. And it's kind of funny because obviously it's not, they don't broadcast it, but if you do some research, you'll find it. And it still makes me wonder how much of that ideology is actually behind the globalist. I look at the globalist much like I looked at how I look at Hitler and his regime, the world power, one race of people. When you start looking at all these things, there's a lot of comparisons between what was going on in World War II with the Nazis and what's going on today. He mentions Argentina. I mean, you can look around the world in every one of these and find some serious, serious issues in their backgrounds. As far as how they're getting in, I hate to say it, but they're being voted in.
Many are, yeah.
And then that's the scary part, because that means, and especially with a lot of it, you wonder where the funding is coming from, when they go into their campaigns and things like this. But these people are, and people need to be real careful. I was discussing this with the wife this morning. Everybody's like, impeach Biden, get rid of Biden, get rid of Trudeau. What we have to keep in mind is if you get rid of those two, vote them out, whatever, who's the second in command that will inherit that spot? And that honestly scares me more than what I see right now. The leaders today, Trudeau and a lot, what's his name? Biden, what's his name?
Wait, he doesn't know it either. Don't worry about it.
I lost my train of thought on that one. What you're seeing with them is, and it kind of scares me, is who the second in commands are. But this stuff is built in, like that Freeland woman up there. She was groomed years ago for this. But I don't care what anybody says, because she went from being a blogger to being second in command in Canada. You look at Harris down south of where we're at anyway. If she's accountable today, 9 times out of 10, we don't know where she's at. That is another thing that concerns me when a person like that is unaccounted for. I don't know if she's being groomed somewhere, but Harris is another one that if something ever happened to Biden and Harris took over the presidency, that would just scare me to death.
Yeah, I agree.
Biden's bad enough. Then you get rid of Biden. At least Biden, in my opinion, is predictable.
Or is he? Yeah, I mean, let's take a look, if you don't mind, Eric the Tech, queue up, because this is part of the show material that we have for today. Let's see here. Video 6. Okay. Now, folks, this is our guy, this is the guy who has been installed in the White House. And right. Okay, this was during a meeting yesterday. Now, folks, you may have seen this, you may not have seen this. Chances are that you certainly didn't see this on the legacy media. Consider this. Consider sitting in a meeting with this guy. And Eric the Tech, there might be additional videos on that thread that even make this whole thing worse. But check this out. Are we okay with that? Okay, check this out. This is like 20 seconds or 24 seconds. Check this out.
But I might point out your when I went to Dearborn, driving that, was up there. I don't know, man. I think the press thought I was crazy. I enjoyed it so much going up and your new EV factory and that Hummer.
What the hell was that, Randy Taylor?
I wonder about that boy sometimes. I remember when people were saying, well, it's not Joe Biden, it's a clone. And then it sits there and makes you wonder, as soon as he talks and says a few sentences, you're like, maybe he is a clone.
Well, you and I know. Now, this is something because of your position and what I've been exposed to. You and I know, brother, okay, they've got, once a year they do.
He probably knows more about what's going on in the U.S. than Biden does. Look at when you look at Biden and some of the things, and you just look at his eyes, yeah. And they don't look right. They don't look human.
I know
it's bizarre. I was watching it just yesterday. It was on a news clip, and I kept looking at him, and I'm going, the guy doesn't even look human. He really looked bizarre, and I thought maybe it's a body double. Could be. Well, I don't know.
You know as well as I do. Every year they have funeral procession. I mean, and this is done legitimately. So once a year they'll do a funeral for the president, a mock funeral. Okay, as if it really happened, to prepare the Secret Service and everything for it. And folks, you don't know this. I mean, there are body doubles that are used for things like that. Okay. Right. So, but there are body doubles, mm-hmm. Okay? But whether they're used as, I don't know.
To actually speak or just be seen, that's really where the body double will come in. If he's going to stop at a microphone and say something, the chances are it'd probably be actually Joe Biden. But if you just want to see somebody walking across the lawn and getting in a helicopter, that could be anybody.
Hey, which reminds me.
And realistically, because of just even assassination attempts, they'll use a body double. What a crappy job, but
Even Vlad on the screen is laughing at that.
Vlad's laughing. See, and that's the whole thing. I think Putin is just over there pushing buttons and playing with us. I really do. And it's going to cost us billions.
I think
why?
So.
Why? Because our president is weak. Putin knows that Biden is incapable of managing any kind of war. He's incapable. There's no way. I served in the military. He told me that's my commander in chief. Are you high? He certainly looks high. There's something wrong there. But Putin, honestly, we talked about this yesterday. Putin's playing with us right now. The guys isn't where he doesn't lose anything is if he doesn't invade Ukraine, they're doing exercises. You know what I'm saying? To what the public sees. It's just military exercises. And I'll be honest with you, when you talk to what I've seen of people in the Ukraine, they don't seem too concerned about it.
I wonder about that. And we were talking about this too, about the about the distraction. Could this be distracting from something else? And we know that China is the bigger threat here. So what are we missing? And you pointed that out.
And we're known for that. As this goes back to, Clinton firing the missiles over there and taking out aspirin factories. There's always, and that was because of the Monica Lewinsky thing. It scares me that a president, to get out of having to account for some sexual misbehavior in the White House, would actually launch missiles that could kill people and start a conflict just to cover up what you were doing in the White House. So if it's such a minute little thing, Monica Lewinsky, as far as I'm concerned, is minute. As far as that goes, and you're willing to kill people over that as a distraction, that scares me. That tells me of a person with no conscience whatsoever. Now let's put something serious that's going on that we're not privy to, that's going on. That means they're willing to sacrifice more lives to cover that up. You see, this is the part, this, our government scares me. As far as what's going to happen with the people, sooner or later, I'm telling you, they're going to be putting people in camps. You know, if they're going to come around, I want to know if you got your shots, this and that. The things are going to get out of hand, and eventually push is going to come to shove, and there's going to be a reaction. I like what I'm seeing up in Canada, the truckers. I think that's fantastic.
Yeah, let's show some of this.
This is something people you don't see every day, and if you did it in the U.S., you would shut down everything.
Well, I know that, and you and I spoke about this. South Carolina truckers are meeting up with some people up in Canada. You've got family up in Canada you've been talking with. You've actually corresponded with people who have sent you photographs, I think, from
Canada? Screenshots right off the television, yeah.
Okay, but let's go to video, or let's go to page one to set the stage for this. Canadian Trucker Freedom Convoy is likely the world's largest vehicle convoy in history. This from Conservative Treehouse. And I'll tell you something. When you see this, I'm telling you, I love truckers. And
there's over 50,000 of these guys in this convoy. Something to think about that, people.
70 kilometers, 44 miles at the last count, and more climbing. So what's this about, really? What's this about? This is a freedom convoy.
This is the important thing. Look at the support they have.
Yes.
Everybody likes to think the Canadians are, you know, kind of slouchy and this and that. They're good people. Don't push them.
You know, I have my problems with Canada. Okay, I don't. Okay, so I'm just saying. But there's people up there I like, and there's people up there.
I'm talking about people, not the government. The government sucks. but there are good people up there, and they're feeling very trapped.
You know, I wonder about that. I wonder what the barometer is up there, because all I hear on the news is Canadians are like, you know, so compliant and so, you know, ready to they fight nice. But now we're seeing something a little different. Let's show video two. This is I know you've got a copy of this and you've seen this. This is Justin Trudeau Castro.
Little Fidel.
Right, little Fidel. Thank you. This is him describing this biggest convoy in history. Yes. Go ahead and play that.
The small fringe minority of people who are on their way to Ottawa or who are holding unacceptable views that they're expressing do not represent the views of Canadians who have been there for each other, who know that following the science and stepping up to protect each other is the best way to continue to ensure our freedoms, our rights, our values as a country.
Go ahead, Randy.
He's not in touch. Is there a lot of liberals in Canada? Yes, there are. But and this is coming from relatives. They're saying, hey, there's a change on the street here. People that even voted for Trudeau have turned against him now. There's signs all over the place that say no more lockdowns. And people just put them right in their front yard. There's resistance up here. Canadians are generally very peaceful people. They really are. But even, and I'm telling you, I'm being told hardcore liberals are now softening up and actually turning against him. When you start, it's just some of the things that I'm getting is because of the, number one, a lot of people lost their businesses over all the lockdowns. They're still technically in lockdown. They told me, what do you say? The restaurants, you can't eat inside a restaurant. You can't eat outside, obviously, because it's, you know, probably 0 degrees up there. But so many people lost.
You're being told that you can't eat inside a restaurant? Is that what you're saying?
You can't, in Canada? Yeah, that's a fact. Inside the restaurant, no, there's no, I'm telling you. There's signs right on the doors. I've seen the pictures. These are my relatives. They're not lying to me. They can't, they cannot eat inside the restaurants. The restaurant, the interiors are closed. They were told they could eat on the outside. Everybody's like, yeah, well, that's a big help. You know, it messes you up when you're driving by. I look at the United States and there's 50 states and kind of, they're all kind of doing their own thing as far as the COVID. But then I get videos from up north. And what I'm seeing is people lined up outside of retail establishments, you know, 6 feet apart, just waiting to go shopping, waiting to get into grocery stores. They're telling me that a lot of the shelves are empty up there. They're sliding down a slippery slope right now at a very high speed. I'm concerned because I have family there, but there's more going on than meets the eye, and it isn't coming down to the U.S. news-wise. They're already a socialist state, as far as I'm concerned. They're heading right into raw communism. And when you see guys like that Trudeau fellow that you just played, he's out of touch. He doesn't understand. And here's the funny part. Before this lockdown stuff, I was back and forth all the time, U.S.-Canada. Even when nothing was going on, when you'd get up around Ottawa, just outside Ottawa is all farm country. And you'd walk into a store, you know, stop and get something, and the people in there would be talking politics with each other. And they would just say how much they hated Trudeau and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, wow, this is weird, because it seems like the closer you get to Ottawa, the more people hate the government.
That's inverse to what we've been told.
Yeah, well, this is truth be known. You get in the Ottawa Valley and places like that. Those are good people, just like us, man. They're good, patriotic, Christian Canadians. They're the only hope for that country, are those type of people, because it's sliding down a slope. Here's the problem. Remember, if anybody ever wanted to get a good toehold on the U.S. militarily, they'd probably come in through Canada.
Why not?
There's too much unprotected border from Wisconsin out to Washington.
Okay, but the southern border, that's equally relevant too, though, right? But the north, people aren't paying attention to the north.
And they don't, because when you start getting out into Alberta and places like that, when you hear about the Wuhan flu and where things originated, they're saying it was a Canadian laboratory. We also have photographic evidence and videos of Chinese military training in Canada. And you can't dispute it. There's Chinese soldiers training in Canada that were filmed by Canadians. They got platoons walking down the street, marching down the street. And when he got his ears pinned back about it, Trudeau, he said, oh, well, it's winter training. It's cold winter training. You know, they need that. There's places in China, though, where the temperature is far lower than anything they would ever see in Canada. You know, there's an alliance going on between Trudeau and Canada that really nobody knows anything about.
Wait, between Trudeau and China, you said, right?
China. Sorry, yeah, not Canada.
Okay.
Trudeau and China. There's things going on there. And another thing people do not realize, fact, because I have photographs, the entire time that this was going on and they shut down the airports and nobody could fly in, Chinese airliners, the entire time, landing at Pearson. I'm telling you. So stop and think about that. Everybody else is banned, but he's still letting Chinese flights come in. And these are people that work at the airport. Trust me, the information's been vetted.
Right. Okay, and I know who I know some of
exactly, people, and you know some of my
yeah.
contacts.
Yeah.
But that's a hardcore fact. China is being given a precedence and given power in Canada that we're just not. I can't wait for this thing to let up so I can get up there and find out what's going on in person. they would be the perfect staging area if somebody wanted to do something militarily against the United States.
Well, you know, people talk about the southern border. It's, what is it, 1,970 miles in length. The Canadian border with the U.S. is over 5,000 miles.
And not protected like the southern border. The southern border, I mean, I could probably yell and somebody from customs is going to be there. You know what I'm saying? Or immigration. From, if you look at Wisconsin and go west out to the state of Washington, man, you got a lot of border. I'll tell you another place up in the northeast United States. You can cross those little crossings over there and nobody even know you did it.
You know, I've done that in New York State. Bingo. Actually, I've actually gone into Canada, and on it was a gravel road,
and nobody knows that you went. There's no cameras. There's no people, and it's they use them mainly for smuggling raids. But you know, in Maine, they're in Maine too. There's places where you can cross the border totally unfettered. And if you stop and think about that, and here's the other thing. Let's say that. All right, we know that the Chinese troops are training in Canada. The U.S. obviously knows that. So if a plane of troops came into Canada, it wouldn't necessarily raise anybody's eyebrows in Washington. But who just came in on that plane? What equipment just came in on that plane? See, that's what's bothering me is, you know, I just think it's a good staging area, and I think there's a lot of things going on up there that we don't know about. Because think about it. If you put everybody on lockdown, there's a lot of things you could, because you have to wonder, and that you look at lockdowns and you say, okay, but as I told you, they're locked down right now in Ontario. Lockdown. Okay.
So by lockdown, I mean, this,
it's like martial law,
but
you have curfews. You can't go in restaurants, the whole nine yards. And when you look at that, okay. And if you have curfews, but to me, it sounds stupid when you say, well, okay, there's going to be a 10 o'clock curfew. Well, how does that stop COVID? What happens after 10 o'clock that I don't know about? But I think, remember, we were talking about distractions. This is pandemic on demand. Plain and simple. Bam, pandemic, you're locked down. And that's about the amount of notice they give you, you're locked down. What makes it totally a farce to me is they're telling me when the lockdown's going to end. I'm serious, relatives. They said, well, it's okay. The lockdown will be over January 31st. And I'm going, who came up with that date? What miraculous thing has happened between now and January 31st? I must have missed it. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't, this entire thing, it's like you said, it's not about the shot. It's about compliance.
You know,
this is a mental exercise.
Indeed, it is. Now, I to some extent, it's about the shot. It's about depopulation. I mean, Klaus Schwab has said it. Bill Gates. We look. We've been over all of this. We know all this. Mm-hmm. But at the granular level, like you're talking about, okay, mm-hmm. when you've got curfews, lockdowns, stay in your house. You know, don't go over here. There's something else going on, obviously, and you know, could it be, like you said, a staging ground? We saw Chinese troops up north. We know that they're there, right, with Castro, mm-hmm. little Castro. Yeah. All right, so, all right.
And remember when they the U.S. had a warrant out for that Huawei, anyway, that Chinese gal that worked for Huawei?
Oh,
and,
yes.
Canada arrested her, you know, because it was a U.S. warrant. She wasn't under arrest. She was still moving around, beautiful place, she had a place to live. If that's arrest, then come and arrest me. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
it was just, it was a joke. So that was just, you know, a little political move on the chessboard. Yeah, we arrested her. Everything's cool. They really need to look at the connection, so between Ottawa and Beijing. There's more going on here, more going on than meets the eye. And the other thing that I was told was that Trudeau went on a leave of absence today. The truckers are coming. He's the prime minister, and then what's he do? He goes and hides in his house.
While downplaying to the media, and the media downplaying to the people, the size of the convoy. And as a matter of fact, we have, if we can go to, let's see, video three, this is like a, this is a 10-second segment or whatever. But this shows what's happening on the highways. The celebration or the support the truckers have. I guess that's the way to frame this. Go ahead and play that. Video three. I think it does. It might have audio. Yeah. So little Castro said, it's a fringe, you know, not that many. And somebody on a forum, a leftist forum, said, yeah, I counted two trucks. Okay, these people are just morons who are downplaying this and the significance of this. Go ahead, sir.
Well, what you're saying is obviously when they say there's only two trucks, the leftists in Canada are hardcore leftists, just like your conservatives are hardcore conservatives. GoFundMe even was told not to release the money. Apparently a ton of money showed up in a GoFundMe page for this convoy, and they were told not to release the money.
In Canada?
In Canada, yes, sir. So think about that. They're doing things up in Canada that we could not. There's no way even the U.S. government would get away with. That's the concern that I have. Because like I said, I got family up there. Mostly in-laws, but you're still family. But I would hate to see something. Just stop and think about that. If Canada flipped totally communist a year from now, okay, and troops came in from China. You notice I don't even say Russia because this Russian thing is a total distraction. But if you had troops and any kind of weaponry in Canada, you're talking about war, literally. But just picture Canada as a gigantic airport where planes can land. I'm concerned. I'm concerned with that.
Can you actually see like a Red Dawn scenario happening? I mean, the folks, this is kitchen table conversation, really.
Yeah.
At this point, because I've been watching Red Dawn remake. It's been like flashing across different channels the last, I don't know, a few months. And I'm thinking, man, this could happen, you know?
Very realistically, and the part that scares me is the strategic advantage that they would have immediately on the northern U.S. Immediately. You know, I mean, if 20 planes came from China overnight, What do we do?
Would we even know?
Invade Canada? Yeah, I mean, you know, you understand what I'm saying? It puts us in a very precarious position.
That's true.
You know, and we've, you know, that would be that very similar to the USSR putting missiles in Cuba back in the 60s, you know, 50 miles away. I mean, but the border up there, like Doug was just saying, 5,000 miles of unprotected border.
I just looked it up, 5,525 miles.
Think about the geographical advantage they would have. And that's a for real scenario because parts of it are happening already. When they're bringing them in to train, bringing them in to do this, that, you know, there's no reason, Doug, none whatsoever, that Chinese soldiers should train in Canada for cold weather.
No, I agree.
One of the dumbest things I've ever heard of. Once again, distractions. We got a lot of distractions going on. But there's also speculation about the virus possibly could have originated in a Chinese lab. Or not Chinese lab, Canadian lab.
Yeah, I believe that a Canadian...
They're saying somebody stole a sample and somehow, I like that, and somehow It ended up in China. Somehow, just the way they say it on the news. And somehow it ended up in China. Gee, that's weird. Right now, it's a very scary position because Trudeau does not care about the people in Canada. I'm just concerned because I got people there, I'll be honest with you. And you can't just bring your family to you, you know, because you got to deal with immigration in the U.S. and the whole nine yards.
Just take that gravel. Have them take that gravel road.
Well, there's that. They're going to be wondering about that U-Haul truck in the middle of the night.
Yeah, with the pond on the right as you go up. But anyway. You got it.
There's things going on around it. So then you look at Canada, all right? Very easy to monitor and things like that. Now, what happened? What about Mexico? I don't know what's going on down there. You got drug cartels. They run Mexico.
Uh-huh.
And trust me, if the Chinese went to a top-notch drug cartel and said, hey, you help us and you'll have a market, you know, when it's all over. You know, we don't know what deals are being made. I just know that bad deals are being made.
And that's the thing. Based on your experience, and folks, you got to understand, Randy Taylor's been in the military. He's been on operations. I don't know what they are. And others that I know, I can't get into. So he knows, like, the stuff that go. I mean, he was part of that world, okay? Since you brought up that, the southern border, let's take a look, yes. If you don't mind. Let's take a look at this video. It's video 8, Eric the Tech. Eric the Tech went rogue, is going rogue today. Have you noticed about the Simpsons and all that stuff on the screen? I mean, he's going rogue. I love it, though. I love it.
He's an awesome guy.
But now this is a 4-minute, 42-second videotape. We don't have to play the whole thing. And in fact, let's not play it. But the important part of this is the Department of Homeland Security Mayorkas guy here in the States and the Border Patrol agents down there. The Border Patrol agents say, hey, you don't have our back. Well, listen to this. And Randy Taylor, you feel free to comment after this. Let's play about a minute of this. And Randy, then you can comment after this. Go ahead.
And get this, tonight we have now obtained exclusive audio by Town Hall's Julio Rosas of DHS Secretary. This is Mayorkas and a recent meeting with Border Patrol in the Yuma sector. It didn't go particularly well. Now, Julio's reporting that one agent even turned his back on the secretary amid his total disregard for the rule of law. Take a listen to this.
Every time something important comes here, we brush out. We have 50 more buses that come in, and they take as many people out of here as they can. You guys keep saying you want to see how it really is down here. Why do we keep sending as many people out of here as we can before they get here? It's not really showing what it is.
I'm not exactly sure I follow.
So in TPC, the whole area back here, before you come down, before anybody comes down, a senator, it doesn't matter. They bust as many people out of here as they can to whatever other sector.
It may appear that people are trying to showcase that every day comes before it. We know better. I know better.
The commitment remains, and we'll keep fighting. Let me just say, you can turn your back on me, but I'll never turn my back on you.
Secretary Mayorkas's office told us in a statement, in part, quote, Secretary Mayorkas welcomes candor during these conversations, appreciates and respects the opinions of each member of the CBP workforce. What about our sovereignty? And is it really that bad? The worst in 20 years? Also tonight, we do continue to bring you exclusive reporting from our very own Sarah Carter, who now interviewed a recently retired Border Patrol agent who says Biden's open borders disaster is not an accident. And by the way, he's undercover. He's protecting his pension, and I don't blame him. Take a look.
How do you verify who the people are when they come through if they have no identifiers or no license or no passport?
We have to, you know, pretty much we bring him in, we take the fingerprints, but you know, when you take fingerprints, you're checking if they've done something here in the U.S. We don't know what they did outside. They may have a hit from the joint terrorist task force or whatever, but I don't think that's enough. That's not enough vetting. It's pretty much a factory.
Okay, you can watch the whole clip, folks, on HagmanReport.com. The clip is in the program description box. But Randy Taylor, I mean, there's the southern border, and there's border agents turning their back on the DHS secretary and saying, you know what, you're full of it, man.
Yeah, there was a write-up in one of these papers. It may have been, I saw it, and it was actually then clicked over to a video. And on the video, the people were, these guys and all of them were males between the ages basically of 20 to 35. They were people who were supposed to be sent back. Instead, were being taken to a building, given their documents, tickets, whatever they needed to go anywhere they wanted in the U.S. Did either of you guys see that?
See it. We followed a caravan last October. Alex Jones, Owen Schroyer, McAllen, Texas, came through the southern border, bivouacked at the airport there, near the airport at McAllen, and went from McAllen. They landed up here in my backyard. They went to a kind of a holding facility up here, and from the holding facility, they were dispersed without, and these were minors, generally minors, but they were dispersed without any adult sponsorship across the United States. And one more thing about this, the seven young girls that were saved by SaveThem.org, and Russ Dizdar and the team that, that we work with, came through that southern border, and they didn't exist. These girls did not exist at all, and they were being shuttled to a major airport for the further disposition. Their ultimate destination was Southeast Asia, okay? But thankfully—
And then basically their lives are over.
Right, right, exactly. So— This is more, I mean, this is an invasion. This is a child, human trafficking operation. Mm-hmm. This is a drug running thing. You know, the fentanyl coming up here into this country. You know, the U.S. government doesn't give a crap about, there's no war on drugs. If it is a war, it's a piss poor war on drugs.
I think a lot of it, and this sounds so stupid, but I think they want it to happen. They want things to happen like that because it creates jobs. And I mean, that's how bizarre the thought process is in Washington. There's no way you can justify what they're doing. And the part that bothers me the most is they lie to us about it openly. And we do nothing. They lie. No, that's not happening. If you're showing me a video of it going on, then guess what? It's happening. This is the part that really torques me, is we're not making this government accountable to us. And at the end of the day, they work for us. And it pees me off no end when they ignore us. They lie to us.
Yeah.
And I'm not a sheep, but you keep trying to keep me in the pen. You know what I'm saying? And they wonder, and you know what? I'm a peaceful guy. I really am. I like peace. I like quiet. I like harmony. But don't push me. You know, there's a lot of guys out there like me, or former veterans and things like that. We don't want to revisit that. A lot of us, we've made peace with ourselves. Okay? I'm a Christian man. I'm a Christian father. You know, I run a clean household. We worship the Lord. Please don't push guys like me back into a position we don't want to be in. Okay? I just want to be a dad. You know what I mean? In a free country. That's all I want. I want it to where I can hand the keys to my daughter and say, baby, it's yours. Okay? And I told my daughter the other night, I told you the story about my daughter pacing at 10:30 at night. What I told her, I intend to uphold. So it's going to get fixed.
Revisit that story, please.
Well, the other night I was watching TV, and I noticed that my daughter, staircase is like in the center of the house, so it's kind of, you can do a lap around there. She was just walking around. It's like 10:30. My baby girl should be in bed. And I said, honey, what's wrong? I'm nothing. I said, come on, baby. I said, Dad, I'm your dad. Talk to me. She said, I'm worried about the future. What do you mean, baby? She goes, just everything that's going on in the world and what's going on in our country. I got to tell you, man, it hit me right in the heart. And I said, listen, I know things are messed up. We allowed it to happen. I said, but we're going to fix it. I said, just trust your old man on that. Okay, we're gonna fix it. And she gave me a big smile, gave me a kiss and went to bed. But I promised her we'd fix it. So guess what, folks?
We are.
Gotta fix it. We're, and that's the end of story.
And by the way, you know, I've had the honor to meet his daughter, and she's a princess and soon to be Miss Universe. I'm telling you, what a intelligent and a very smart, very, very smart, very.
You'll never meet a 13-year-old like this. She's so intelligent. So intelligent.
Yeah.
She's more intelligent than a lot of adults that I know.
Oh, yeah.
I know it's scary. No, she's super smart, straight A student. I mean, this kid is on the ball. And she takes a lot of flack at school because, you know, she doesn't keep her mouth shut. Somebody will start a political discussion and she just rips them a new one. And, you know, I admire her though.
I wonder where she gets that from.
Yeah, Jesus, you know, look at that, and her mom. I mean, come on. So, but if a 13-year-old is thinking about that, there's a lot of 13-year-olds out there with parents that probably don't know, don't care, you know. And I think about, I can't hand the keys to her. I'm not going to give this to her. No way. This has to be cleaned up.
Any more than you would hand the keys to a 71 Ford Pinto, right? Okay. Yeah. It just, you know, with one ball tire or, you know, four ball tires, you wouldn't do that. Exactly. Yeah. And this is another reason too, with this, I love the, in fact, we should title the show this, Pandemic on Demand. It seems like this pandemic is the vehicle, as we've talked about, to total control. But, you know, like your daughter, other young people, suicides of the young people, drug use up tremendous.
Yes.
What are we doing with our
children? The suicides are unbelievable. Look, telling kids to wear a mask in school is the dumbest thing I've ever heard of. Okay? It's just stupid.
Yep.
And can you imagine 8 hours of sitting in there and breathing in the carbon monoxide from your body? Just trapped in a mask.
Yep.
They make them wear a mask outside.
Of course.
It doesn't make sense. And then I just.
You know, in Virginia, the governor said, okay, mask mandates out the door. There's seven school districts who said, mask all day, every day. And you're right. Earlier, you said you had kids eating outside in Canada. And I looked at it here, both in Canada and the United States. Yep. They're in, you know, 20 degree weather, zero degrees or whatever. This is child abuse. This is insanity. And this mass bull crap is nothing more than virtue signaling and a sign of submission. And I think, you know, but all of this together, I don't want to run out of time. We got about 25 minutes left. I want to show you this. Now this we didn't talk about, but is this, now when this starts appearing on places like the War Room, Steve Bannon's program. Okay. When this
excellent program.
Right. Exactly. Now, when this starts appearing there though, now I'm, and we take a look, not just the United States, not just Canada, not just the West, well, the entirety of the planet, and especially the West, this is happening. So tell me, now this clip is just over 4 minutes in length, and it's a pretty important clip. You tell me, Randy Taylor, and folks out there watching this, is this, I mean, what is this all about? Now, this is nothing new. This is not, oh my gosh, I can't, because we've seen it, we've heard it. But in this context, in the context of this conversation, folks, and Randy Taylor, you tell me what this is all about. This is clip number 5, Eric the Tech, who went rogue on me with The Simpsons. Go ahead.
Joe Kent, I don't need to tell him about task and purpose out there in Washington 3, a great patriot, an American hero. Joe, you're all over this vaccine mandate nonsense. Tell me what's going on. You're getting in people's face out there, which is great. Walk us through what's happening.
Yeah, Steve, thanks for having me on to discuss this. So we've had a great movement over the fall and actually starting this summer of patriots in Clark County, which is the biggest county in the 3rd Congressional District. They've gone out and they've gathered over 12,000 signatures on a petition that would end the vaccine and the mask mandates in our county. And now we are presenting that petition to the county council. And we want to strengthen the resolve of 3 members of that county council to get them to approve this petition and to tell our tyrannical governor, Jay Inslee, that Clark County will no longer discriminate based on vaccine status or based on people wearing their masks. We want to end it. We want to exert sovereignty, the will of the people being reflected by their elected officials. So on Friday, we're going to hold a peaceful and patriotic rally out in front of the Clark County Public Service Building from 2 p.m. from 3 p.m. to 5 p.m. The address is right there, 1300 Franklin Street in Vancouver. And this is going to hopefully strengthen the resolve of those elected representatives to tell Jay Inslee that we will no longer deal with these mandates.
Okay, this is, I want to get it across to everybody. If you can give your support by going online and checking it out. And if you're in the area, please show up. But this is so important. The last time we left you, you were leading the charge to go to meetings where they had a whole raft of legislation that essentially looked like they were going to bring the military in. I mean, it was almost as crazy as New York State. Walk us through that, because that's what I think initiated to get lit the fire when you guys had to go in, and then they started lying about it and saying, oh, this is not what we're talking about. It's a different meaning. Walk us through what happened there.
Yeah, so right before Christmas, Washington State Health Board said that they wanted to start discussing Washington State administrative codes. And I encourage people to look these up, 246-100-040 and 070. This gives the health board the sole authority to task law enforcement to put people in forced quarantine situations and for the health board to establish quarantine camps or quarantine facilities. Now, they put this out on their website, and they were just going to have a hearing about it on Zoom where they weren't really going to take public comment. So we conducted a rally right in front of the health board, had over 250 patriots stand out there for over 6 hours, had people express their voices and really make our voices heard. And what happened, they saw the vast amount of people that showed up out there, and they agreed that they would not discuss the forced quarantine. So it was a partial victory. However, they are still discussing, Washington State Health Board is still discussing mandatory vaccines for our children going to school. So this fight has just begun. That was just one battle, but we got them to stop discussing it that day. And then, of course, they took to the media and said that we were spreading disinformation, but we have all the receipts. Those administrative codes are on the books in Washington State. And that's why the movement that started this summer, the petition movement to get Clark County, a conservative county in a blue state, to stand up is so important, because this is where these counties and these towns can really defend their people from this tyranny coming from Governor Inslee, coming from Joe Biden. This is where we need our elected officials to stand and deliver for us, stand in the breach from this COVID tyranny. So we're hoping they do the right thing. We're out there to show our support for them. That's what this petition is supposed to do. And so we're going to gather on Friday from 3 to 5 p.m. And I really hope to see everybody out there.
All right. So
Joe, real quickly.
That's fine. So Randy Taylor, you talked about obviously the mask situation, but more importantly, in the context of current events, the Washington State, and we talked about this in our last Patriot meeting, the Washington State legislation about the establishment of quarantine camps, in the context of what you were saying about the potential for Chinese troops, you know, up north, the fact that we've got a virtually unprotected 5,525-mile U.S.-Canadian border. You know, what are these camps really for? Are they for really for like a – I mean, what are they really for? I don't know.
When they were being built, I remember in the beginning, I want to say back in around 2004 or 2005 – Alex Jones was really on top of that. We've got tons of what they call FEMA camps here in the U.S. Tons of them. They're empty. And I can also verify that a lot were built because they were built by Halliburton. And if you remember, I used to be yeah. I was an air conditioning guy,
yeah.
And I had an online company. One of my best customers was Halliburton. I loved when they called in because they had the gold card, the platinum card, and they'd order stuff from us, air conditioning stuff, and lots of it. And they would never have an end, you know, and we didn't ship to a particular destination that was like where I could say, well, there's a camp located here. They were always sent to this dock up in Jacksonville. And that's all we did. We signed it at the gate, done, stuff was released. But there's FEMA camp. My point is there's FEMA camps. Alex Jones was all over this back when it was going on.
Yep.
The camps are the thing that bugged you about the camps. You looked at it, and these aren't FEMA camps. These are prisoner of war camps, okay? You don't put barbed wire on a facility that's there to help people. Every one of these camps has a set of railroad tracks going into it. So they plan on bringing a lot of stuff in via railroad.
Right.
So the mass coffins.
Yes.
And people can say what they want, but we've seen the videos, not just one, tons of videos,
yep,
about the FEMA camps and also these mass coffins. And these aren't coffins where you put one guy in it. These are coffins that hold like nine people.
Yep.
Nine bodies. They're huge. They're like, they're bigger than a jacuzzi. You know, they're just, and you sit there and you look at this and it's like, what possible good, except, now let's put this into play. I was sitting there and we would discuss this and we said, what would you possibly use that for? What would I need, you know, except mass execution? Okay. What if maybe this is, they send the people to the camps that don't comply and they know they're not going to comply. And then suddenly they become sick and die. Or they just line up at the wall and shot. I don't know. I just know that you don't normally put nine people in a coffin. Okay.
Unless you're Fauci, who does it to children and at the Gate of Heaven Cemetery on Long Island. But I digress. Go ahead.
But I think that we had a bird's eye view of the future, you know, 10 or 15 years ago of what is in store. The question is, who are the proposed tenants for those camps? And I think it's going to be anybody that resists the government and the mandates. They'll try that. First time they put people in a FEMA camp, look, you can come with me or not, I don't care. I'm going to go down there and settle it. Okay, we're not going to have our people put in FEMA camps. It ain't happening. We cannot allow that, folks. We can't. No.
So using your analytical abilities, and again, I trust your analysis a lot because of your experience and because of the depth of your knowledge. And that's not, you know, I'm not blowing smoke up your skirt. I understand where you've been, what you've seen, what you've done. What we're seeing right now, the plandemic on demand or pandemic on demand, the all of these mandates, restrictions, curfews, as you talked about, and equally important, if not more important, the pushback, the convoy up north, the truckers' convoy, and even the pushback down here in the States where we're at, looking up north, but also participating from down here. Does this, using your analytical abilities here and experience, I mean, are we fixing for some sort of a showdown? Are these camps? This is a huge question. I'm trying to.
Sooner or later, we've got to, you know, we've got to strap up and go out there and meet this, because I'm telling you, if they start confining people and doing things like that, then the line has been crossed. I think they're already over the line, way over the line with us. It's just, and nobody could ever come up with it. They said, well, the FEMA camps because of Katrina, and FEMA camps because of this disaster and that disaster. I'm not buying that. Okay. And like I said, we don't need, You look at them, I mean, they got guard towers and everything else in these camps. I think it's just another step towards disaster for us. One thing that's key about the United States, and people need to remember this, you can't just overnight decide you're going to war with the people. We'd crush the government. They know that.
Yeah.
Okay. True. So what do we do? What do we do instead? What we do, what they've done, and they've probably learned this from the Muslims, stealth jihad, stealth invasion. It's invading without a shot fired. And that's what we're seeing. Americans are generally pretty cool people. You take, well, you take this, and you take this, and you take this. But see, you're taking it in such small amounts, their liberties and freedoms, that a lot of them don't even see it. We know that. Your neighbor doesn't see it. He thinks shots are cool. You know, we're just saving our lives. We're being walked down a very dangerous path. And I think the shots, the shot is just part of it. I think also the shots are going to reflect, or lack of shots, who the government's going to go after. Once again, they're not going to go and arrest people and go, it's because you're resisting the government. They're going to go and say, well, you haven't had your shots. We're just trying to help you.
And you're a threat to public health.
Bingo. And they actually try and guilt you. You know, if you watch the commercials and stuff like that, you're being guilted. But they know better than to try and overnight turn on 350 million people. Okay? That's a bad play. But if you do it a piece at a time, you don't even know what's going on. Think about it.
And we've seen that.
Yes, and the things that are going on in schools, the pressure being put on children, they don't even, they're, you know, we got upset because the college kids are being indoctrinated. They're doing it in high school. They're doing it in grade school now.
Yep.
You know, and during all of this, remember we talked about all this distraction, okay? There's more going on than we know. And here's the thing that really threw me overboard. We've been at war with radical Islam since before 2001.
Yes. Remember 1993 World Trade Center bombing?
Yeah.
Remember?
Yeah. The ship that got bombed.
Cole, the USS Cole.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, stop and think about this for a second. Why did all that stop suddenly? I mean, think about it. We were 24 hours a day. You wouldn't believe what was going on, you know, when we were at war with radical Islam. Then all of a sudden it was like, okay, pandemic.
Yep.
Islam, shut it down. Shut it down. We don't need that right now. Pandemic. You have to sit there and wonder how all of a sudden everything about terrorists went away. Gone. Like some magic. And what we have now is the pandemic on demand. I don't know if anybody's even picked up on that. Nobody's even said that. That it strikes me as odd because that's what I did every day.
Yes.
And all of a sudden now it's pandemics en masse. And I'm like, what the hell is going on here? This is one of the things that tells you this is crap. It also tells you that a degree of the war on the radical terrorists was crap too. They're constantly loading us up with this. It's just like one distraction after another. And what's happening at the same time, they're doing all these distractions and the real things that are going on, you're never going to see because that's not going to be on TV. They're showing you what they want you to see. And programming you that way, where meanwhile, this is where you need to be looking, is down here. Because there's something else going on. And I don't...
You know, I think there's a bunch of something else going on.
Right? Yeah, we're working on it, but I don't... It's so... The masterminds that are doing this are geniuses, because look how many people they got to comply.
But that's the thing about communism. The opening video that we showed, the World Economic Forum, Klaus Schwab, think about the consolidation of power when you have world leaders, and especially the younger leaders who are going to be around for a while, and their cabinets being infiltrated. That might be a bad term, but infiltrated by our standards, but you know,
or Manchurian candidates unto themselves.
Exactly. So they're all reading from the same script that is being provided by a group of people who are intent on taking over the world. I mean, I don't know how else to say that. They think they can take over the world anyway.
They think so, and they're trying.
Yeah,
they're well on their way. I had read somewhere just recently that Bill Gates, wouldn't allow his kids to be vaccinated for school.
Okay, how's that work? You know,
explain that to me. Explain to me also. Have you noticed we're not hearing anything out of Africa about COVID?
Good point.
Those people could be dropping like flies, and we wouldn't know it. Yep. And I know Gates has been over there, you know, plunging needles into people's arms. I got a real problem with Gates and this Musk guy that want to play God.
Yes.
Okay. I have a God, Lord Jesus Christ. Okay. There's no other gods, especially Bill Gates, who probably is really good at downloading stuff on a computer or doing it. You know, he knows that stuff. Who put him in charge of the vaccines, you know, and doing this kind of research? And how, here's my question, how many people died while they were experimenting? And in Africa, who's going to report it? You understand what I'm saying? They've probably used 1,000 of those 9-man coffins over there. You know what I'm saying? That whole continent has been off the radar. But that's where Gates went to do a lot of his research on vaccines.
And I have to say, RFK Jr.'s book exposes a lot of that. And that's why he's getting a lot of heat, especially from Fauci's and NIAID and NIH and Gates and all that. Yeah, I mean, it goes into detail. And I've got to say, Celia Farber on the state side here, just an ace reporter contributing heavily to the book, have spent some time with her in D.C. And I got to tell you, she's right on the money, and she's heavily cited. Her work is in that book, RFK Jr., The Real Anthony Fauci. But go ahead. Yeah, I mean, we've got about 8 minutes left.
Okay, something I want to turn our listeners on to. You know how Google has been filtered, designed for each country. The country pays Google. Google says, okay, this is what we're going to release in your region, the government in that region. This is a fact. And I know this between the U.S. and Canada. This has been going on for years and years and years. It used to be you could go into Google, and across the bottom, you had a bunch of country names. So if you wanted to click on Guatemala, you could go to Guatemala and you're looking at what's going on in Guatemala. I remember the day that Google pulled those links. It was during the H1N1 flu virus pandemic.
Think about it.
They pulled the links. I remember the morning sitting in my basement. I remember it like it was yesterday. And I called my wife over. I said, look, check this out. You know, and she was like, wow. What it is that was their first stab at isolating us from the rest of the world and doing it to each one of those individual countries. But ladies and gentlemen, if you want to get true information about a country and you want to try and do it through Google, all you have to do is put Mexico, Google, name the location, then put in Google. You will get a whole different set of links and information because it will actually kick you over to that country and get the content that gets released in that country. People don't understand, folks, what you're seeing. And I know this from having lived abroad and doing different things. Information is being filtered and censored to the population in a big way. Why do you think Google's so powerful? There's huge dollars allocated from different countries to Google for specific parameters on what Google is going to show the public. Fact. I'm not lying to you. I'm not making this up. Okay. This has been going on since the day they pulled those links. They started making deals with governments. If I'm sitting in, let's say I went down to Peru, and I go into Google. Okay, well, that's Peru's Google. Then there's Canada's Google. Then there's the Google that the U.S. sees. Another interesting one is go to the UAE, United Arab Emirates, Google. I'm telling you, as you start doing this, you're going to see a different world than what's being told to you on your television at night. And I'm giving that to our listeners. This is just a little fun exercise. I want you to pick a country in the world. First of all, I want you to just go to Google, look at your, enter a search term, anything. COVID-19. Put it in, you'll get your U.S. report. This is what the U.S. authorized Google to release. Okay? Then go to UAE, Google. Once you kick over there, then put in search term COVID-19. Use the same search term on every one so you can see the comparison that I'm trying to tell you about. It's imperative that you use the same search term.
Right. And you or use a cleaner search engine and a VPN of the area that you're searching as
but
well.
But as an exercise and to see exactly what Google's doing, Google is worth a ton of money.
Sure.
Why? They're bringing in, they're now working with the government. And I don't care if they deny it, they're liars. That little exercise right there would prove that Google's lying. I'm telling you, listeners, do it so you understand what we're trying to say. We are in the information age, but it's censored information. And that is all part of the globalist key. I've read the Bible many times, and I still have one thing that always bugged me is the Antichrist is supposed to speak out against Jesus or opposite of what the Lord says. What God says, and people will believe it. So I'm sitting here and I'm thinking, how would you get all these people to do this? Is it possible that somehow Google is tied in with that? Because what do people do? You say something, hey, you know how to do this? No, Google it.
Yeah.
But think how dependent we've become on this information tool. We've become very, I'm guilty of it too. Picking up the thing and punching in a word. Okay, what does that mean? There's a reason for that. Okay, this is all part of this globalist strategy. Information, the information that's being told to you. Think about it. If you took two guys, locked a guy in a room, feed him particular information every day, feed the other guy different information every day, let him out in a year. I have two totally different people looking at me.
That's right.
Because of the information they've been fed. Folks, think about it. Your enemy, our enemy, is coming at us from all directions. It's not just one thing. If you think about how powerful an entity like that is in the average human life, particularly in the United States, that's scary. Because people have a tendency to believe what they read. It's just human nature. They have a tendency to believe what they read.
And we see that, especially with the older demographic, and no offense to, I'm just...
No.
With respect to what's on television, you know.
The older ones are lucky to make it to Google.
Well, yeah.
But we are, this is so much far bigger. This is bigger than COVID.
Sure.
This COVID is just one little piece in the puzzle that they're, you know... There is far more going on, and you have to recognize it. You have to search it. You've got to. I don't believe anything that comes off the television. I don't. I wouldn't have believed that there was a convoy of truckers if somebody hadn't sent me some photos.
Especially if you're watching Canadian news or U.S. news.
They're not going to tell you. And that's another thing. Basic cable package when you're up in Canada, the basic cable package includes CNN and MSNBC. If you want Fox, you will pay extra. And it's about $20 a month from what I'm told.
If you want OAN, forget about it, right? Forget about it. Yeah. Hey, we're at the end of the show. Randy Taylor.
Man, we could do this for days, buddy.
We could, man. And you know, a lot of new listeners, they appreciate you. Randy Taylor at HagmanReport.com. That's your email address.
Randy Folks, Taylor, we want to hear from you.
Yes. Yes.
And thank you for your support.
Amen to that. Don't forget the fundraiser began today. Link in your inbox. If not, check your spam folder, as Eric the Tech said. God bless you. Randy Taylor, thank you very much. God bless you. Good night, everyone.